Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Keep an eye on the time tonight because we had our late night vigil, lunar quarter vigil last night, so we were up till 3:30, so I'll try not to go on too long. So it's nice to see so many people gathering here. This is probably the fullest I've seen the hall since I came back to Abhayagiri a couple of months ago. It's really beautiful to see, for me, beautiful to see that people are interested in, developing a peaceful mind, peaceful heart, practicing Dhamma. Some people have come from far away, made an effort. So, yeah, nice to see. Today marks the first day. It's the first day of March. This is our annual traditional 3-month winter retreat. As Ajahn Pasno pointed out last night, 2 months finished, 1 month to go. It's really, for me at least, it seems just a couple of finger clicks have passed since we began the retreat, beginning of January. And tonight I was reminded of that again, about 6:30, 6:15. Jeff, who is one of the retreat support crew here, came and he was checking to see who was leading the chanting tonight. And at that point, I didn't really know who was, but I said, because Jeff had a request to dedicate the chanting, as you heard, to the passing of his mother, which is his mother Joyce passed away 48 days ago. So it's in commemoration of the 49th day, which is tomorrow. And Jeff and I were speaking a little bit, just briefly, and just saying, wow, both of us saying, 48, 49 days gone, just like that. Just like that. And it's not just the last 49 days. How easy is it for us to think back? We think back to last month, last year, our childhood, 10 years ago, whatever. And then oftentimes, it's just you think, where did the time go? So, and a few weeks ago, at the Saturday night talk, Ajahn Nyanico, he quoted one of the verses from a chant that we do very frequently here. The quote is, "The days and nights are relentlessly passing. How well am I spending my time? This should be reflected upon again and again by one who's gone forth." And I gather in some places, this is a chant that's done every day, and I've read in some books also where it's recommended. Again and again we should say, oh, okay. What am I doing? What am I doing with my time? And so we think, different things will come up in the mind. Depends on, what you've been doing. But even, the thought, we've got this winter retreat, and right now we're in a period of open schedule, and there's no formal meetings apart from the lunar quarter and tonight. And we say there's another month to go. But even that, I was sitting reflecting. I was thinking, well, even that's, that's not sure. That's not sure. Yeah, it's on the schedule. It even says on the website, finish on March 31st. But who knows? Something might pull us as an individual away or something. And then our retreat is finished. So one thing that's really come to mind is a sutta. A discourse by the Buddha called the Baddhekarata Sutta. I've been pondering this a little bit more lately. I've had one main theme that I've been working on for myself, my internal work, but this is sort of a sub-theme that I've recently picked up again, and it's a sutta. And I'll use the translation for Bade Karate as an auspicious day. I'm using Ajahn Tinisaro's translation. And when I was sort of pondering this and looking at different versions of it, and I found no less than five different translations, and I'm sure there's more, and so I don't want to confuse things by telling you all what they are. But an auspicious day. And it's 11 years ago was my first winter retreat ever, and that first winter retreat, I decided to start reading the suttas, reading the discourses, because they were things that I hadn't really read. And to be quite honest, the few that I had read, I'd been a bit, they hadn't really sparked a lot of inspiration. And I think it was just the style of the versions that I was reading. And so I picked up, and this was Ajahn Tinisaro's Handful of Leaves, Book 1. And I just systematically worked my way through, and I got to this sutta. It's from the Majjhima Nikaya, the middle length discourses, is number 131. And I read it, and it's very short. It's not long, and it's got a four stanza verse within it, quite near the beginning. And then the Buddha goes on to explain, he sort of fleshes it out. He goes into more detail. So there's the summary and then his exposition. So anyway, I read this, and it really, I felt this great sense of inspiration from it. It somehow connected, and it really helped me to begin to appreciate the suttas, the discourses as they've been handed down to us for more than 2,500 years. So over the years, and I right then and there, I started, or within a couple of days, I started memorizing the verses, the four verses, not the rest of it, but the verses, and just as a, they just inspired me, and I wanted to have them really in the mind so I could draw them up for reflection. And so recently I started resurrecting that, and I was actually speaking with one of the other monks about this, and we both discovered that both of us were using it for reflection during this retreat. And but in it, it's very much, the Buddha is very much saying, look, don't waste time. Don't waste time. So I'm going to try and recite the verse by heart. I do have a little piece of paper and a little flashlight in my pocket just in case I can't. It's not long, so... You shouldn't chase after the past or place expectations on the future. What is past is left behind. The future is as yet unreached. Whatever quality is present, you clearly see, right there, not taken in, unshaken, that's how you develop the heart. Ardently doing what should be done today, for who knows, tomorrow, death. There's no bargaining with mortality and his mighty horde. Whoever lives thus ardently, relentlessly, both day and night, has truly had an auspicious day. So says the peaceful sage. And then the Buddha goes on to explain. And so I'm not going to try and do a commentary on the entire sutta tonight. That's not my idea or plan. We'll see what happens. I'm not quite sure where I'm going to go, but I just want to use. So what I do is what we can do with these teachings is to really use them. They're there for reflection. And so that last part of the verse is, the ardently doing what should be done today, for who knows, tomorrow, death. There's no bargaining with mortality. This morning, I was out walking alms around on Tom Kai Road. I went down and then back up. And on my way back up, I was walking, and I was thinking, okay, Saturday night, I've been invited to give the talk. Okay, okay. Oh, then all of a sudden the mind, the little devil, you have the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. The little devil said, "Oh, probably be tired tomorrow. Oh, maybe." And then the mind started spinning. It was like, not spinning, but it was thinking, "Oh, well, we don't have morning puja. I can just sleep in. I can maybe sleep another hour or two or whatever." And then that line, "There's no bargaining with mortality and his mighty horde." And I thought, yeah, that's not just, you know, is that really just about death of the body as we know it? Or that's like, you know, the word in the Pali scriptural language is mara, you know, some death. And mara is also that little voice in you, that little voice, the little devil that whispers, "Oh, you don't need to do that." The voice that draws you away from skillfulness. And so that little voice that wanted to draw me away from practice. So instead of me getting up the way I would normally want to, the way I normally been trying to and doing, instead of that, then, oh, sleep samadhi. Yeah, not the same. So I started laughing. I just thought, "Oh, yeah, well, this is one to put down. Don't. So in the verses, you know, so it's that, yeah, you shouldn't, you know, shouldn't dwell in the past. Doesn't mean that we don't think, you know. So it's like as meditators, you know, we're all here. We're all meditating for, you know, shorter, medium, or long time, and you know, you sit down and, you know, thoughts from the past can invade the mind. I mean, how many of us have never had thoughts of the past come up in meditation? But it's not about not having, you know that you'll never have thoughts of the past. But it's you know, let's say delightful thoughts. You know, in the sutta, the Buddha says, yeah, it's like not, you know, when delightful thoughts, you don't get drawn in. You don't nourish them. And it's so easy to do, isn't it? Nice memory. You know, maybe how you were and in the past, what you did in the past, how you thought in the past. Just any sort of experience, you know, and a delightful feeling comes up, and so that's normal. And the Buddha is saying that's normal, but don't get taken in, not taken in by the past. No, so we don't start to spin things around. Or if a painful memory comes up, you know, and you want to get rid of it or avoid that ever happening again. That doesn't mean you don't avoid painful things happen, but you don't start investing and suffering over these things, not dwelling on the past, the pleasant things. Oh, I want to recreate that. 20 years ago, I could walk up hills like this really quickly. Okay, maybe get in shape again, but how much do we invest? How much do we start to create an identity around the past? Oh, I used to be, want to be that again. Or, wow, that horrible thing happened to me in the past. You start reliving things that are painful, maybe even to the point of those very same emotions getting stirred up again, you know, maybe from a conflict with another person or some painful experience. And then future. Not trying to create, not pinning your hopes on the future. Doesn't mean we don't plan. Of course, plan. Sometimes I've heard people say, "Oh, you know, like I know in England they're redeveloping the monastery, and it's going to be between a 20 and 30 year plan." And a few years ago, one of the residents is no longer there, but they said, "Oh, what all this planning? I just want to be in the here and now." And I didn't say anything, but I felt like saying, well, you know, because there's this beautiful temple building, and it took at least 10 years to get built, if not more, 10, 15 years. And a lot of effort went in by a lot of people, planning. And I felt like asking this person, you know, well, do you enjoy going in the temple? Do you enjoy that? You know, somebody really, many people. So yeah, I mean, we make plans, but we don't, the way I look at it is we don't pin our overall well-being on whether those hopes come to fruition. In a lot of the readings we've been having, these daily readings, and a lot of them were by Ajahn Chah, and two talks in particular, which Venerable Kachana read, and they both of them, Ajahn Chah kept saying, not sure, not sure. Live in that not sure, so we can plan, we can hope, but we don't invest. There's always that baseline reflection, not sure. Whatever quality is present, you clearly see right there. So quality in that sutta, the way the word in the Pali is Dhamma, which there's many uses of the word Dhamma, but in this sense it's, you know, the mental phenomena, mental quality arises, whatever arises. And then the Buddha is saying, you clearly see it right there where it arises, what's in the mind. And so that, I actually did look up what they meant by clearly seeing. And one of the commentaries said it's you're seeing it through the seven things, and the first three are through the eyes of impermanence, you know, the lens of impermanence. You see it, oh, this too is impermanent. This too is not going to last. It can't. If it arises, it'll cease. This too is unsatisfactory. It's therefore stressful, dukkha. And this too is not, it's not mine, it's not me, it's not myself, so it's anatta, not self. So that clearly seeing, and then he goes on to say, and then through that, then through the lens of seeing it with disenchantment, with dispassion, to see its cessation and to relinquish it. Let it go. So present moment, so maybe that's where a memory comes up. So you say, okay, well, that's the past. But as soon as we see that, as soon as we see, oh, and not getting taken in, not getting shaken, we go, oh, this is a memory. Right then, you've just stepped into the present. You're no longer dwelling in the past. Oh yes, okay, that memory might still be in the mind, but you're clear. This is a memory. I'm now in the present. I see that it's a memory. Same with the future. We're planning, but you're planning. You know you're planning. You're not lost, not getting lost in your plans or letting the mind spin. Clearly seeing. So that's an insight. That insight. Yeah, especially with all this time in meditation, we have, you know, we've had these, as I said, these 2 months. Many of you are staying here, supporting us. Other people live locally or have been tapping in on and off for well, longer than 2 months, for years and years and years. I see so many familiar faces here. And so, yeah, and then sometimes the quieter the mind goes, the more time and space we have for formal practice, the mind, at least from my own experience, when it does finally shut up, maybe even just when, then I find that the mind will start just digging some past memory. It'll just dig up stuff that I don't need to remember. Do I need to remember the name of my first grade teacher? How many years ago was that? Let's see. 49 years ago? 48 years ago? Do I need to know her last name? No, I don't think so. Or or my friend in the third grade who we got into trouble and I can't remember. And the mind, sometimes my mind will grab that and I'll spend like 2 hours trying to remember, you know, going through the alphabet. Okay, A, was it Anthony, Albert? No, B, Billy, Bob. I mean, what a waste of time. One of the early years here, this was happening with, I was thinking of former colleagues. And my line of work was in the theater. And so a lot of these people, especially then, they were still working. I knew that. And at that time we had internet access. I'm sorry, Ajahn Pasna, I'm confessing. I snuck into the computer room. And because I couldn't remember their name, and I'd been through the alphabet like 4 times. It's totally ridiculous. I know it is laughable. And I finally said, okay, I know where they work. I know they're working in Holland. I'm going to go to the internet. And I went, okay, Dutch National Ballet. Okay, and then, poof, choo, there he is. There's the name, Barry Watt. Right, couldn't remember his last name. I mean, well, that's the mind was just, and that was, you know, the mind was finally going quiet, and the mind was just kicking up, you know, just trying to entertain itself. Shouldn't chase after the past. Boy, was I chasing. Big time. Or the future, you know, we get an idea, maybe we have some plan, going to travel. These last few years, I've begun to travel at least a little bit more. Maybe we're making plans, walking pilgrimage or moving to another monastery. Whatever. Or maybe in our first years of monastic life, getting into the white robes. Then maybe after a year as an Anagarika, becoming a novice. And it's easy to start projecting, you know, oh, when I, you know, all right, future. So it's human. This is human. You know, there's not, these, you know, the past, present, future is all human experience. And here again is, and, you know, being in, especially in these retreat situations where the mind can sometimes go and hopefully goes bit quieter. Boy, the mind, yeah, it'll just really crank it out. I know, I can't remember the details of it. I wish I could, but Ajahn Amaro, I know, has told a story a few times about one long retreat he did in England, and he got one eye, he grabbed a hold of one idea so much that he thought he had to go to the police to confess to something. And it was nothing, you know. You know, but he had convinced himself that he had to do that. I don't think he did, just so you know. I'll have to ask him about that when I see him again. It's the mind spinning. But here again, as soon as we see that, the quicker we can... So even if we've been spinning, even if the mind has grabbed hold of something for a whole hour or whatever, you know, as soon as you see that, as soon as we see that, you're in the present. So you've stepped out, you've got off the outside of the wheel and you go to the middle, you're in the middle. So even if that comes back up, if that either memory or hope for the future comes up, and if you just, you know, come right back to the present, okay, this is a memory. It too is impermanent. It's not sure. Well, this is a plan. It's a good plan. Hope it happens. But am I going to peg my happiness on that happening? Okay. You just bring it back to the present. Look at it through that Dhamma eye, that Dhamma eye. Is this sure? Is this, even if it is sure, is it satisfactory? If I become a bhikkhu or a novice, is that really truly who and what I am? Or if I, you know, whatever, you know, we can create ourselves in any just a multitude of fashions. Oh, when I get this job, or, you know, move to this city, or we can really create ourselves. So it's interesting in that little, that short sutta, the Buddha, when he talks about, you know, clearly, also clearly seeing, and he goes through actually the five khandhas, the five aggregates of body, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness, and says, is this me? Is this mine? Is this truly who I am? He uses that structure. So it's not creating a self around that, whatever our experience is. So for instance, going back to this morning, there I am walking up Tom Kai Road, you know, with the little devil on one shoulder, had Mara on one shoulder and sort of, you know, little angel on the other. And I know from habit, you know, how I can, in so many times, I know I have the capability of saying, creating a self and saying, you know, 12 years you've been in the monastery and you still have these thoughts. Ahiksako, how useless are you? So right then I'm born into this useless or lazy, I'm born as lazy Ahiksako. Or conversely, you know, you could say, oh, you okay, if you don't follow it, you could start, oh, I'm diligent, you know. Then you're born as a diligent person. And then you're taken in, you're not to be taken in. Don't get fooled again. Just creating more identity, more self. And then that brings you back to mortality, because whatever is born, you get born as a diligent, if I get born as a diligent monk, and then let's say next week I succumb to Mara, then what am I? My diligent, Ahiksako the diligent dies. There he is, dead. Or the opposite. So one last thing I'll say about this sutta is that I mean it's extraordinarily well known sutta, and it's interesting because it appears four times in the that collection of teachings, the entire middle length sayings, Majjhima Nikaya, it appears four times in sequence, in only very slightly variations. The verse is the same. It's only the exposition around it that's slightly different, and I didn't actually know that. I only read the first one, and I was reading and I read, oh, this number 132, 133, 134, and it's interesting because that's to me that's very telling. That's very telling that for the same discourse by the Buddha would appear four times. And it's one thing I find quite lovely is that in the second one, it's Venerable Ananda is actually teaching monks this sutta. He's teaching other monks who didn't know it. He was teaching it to them, and the Buddha actually he comes into the Dhamma hall and discovers this, and or the tail end of it. And he says, "Oh, Venerable monks, who's been speaking Dhamma and what were you speaking about?" So they say, "Oh, Venerable Ananda, your attendant was teaching us the Bhadekarata Sutta." And the Buddha says, "Oh, good, good, good. This is excellent, you know, good to know." And then the other two as well. It's interesting because a celestial being, a devata, comes on two separate occasions, two separate monks, and appears and says, "Do you know the Bhadekarata Sutta?" And a monk says, "No, I don't know it." "Oh, it would be good that you learned it. You should go find the Buddha and you should learn this, or you should go learn this sutta. Because this is fundamental," the one devata says, "this is fundamental to the holy life." So this is just sorry, I'm waffling a little bit, but it's just an aside. Because to me, it really adds that punctuation, you know, like, oh, like just within this sutta, you know, it's just this really rich field of reflective tools. Okay. think that's enough for tonight.
Okay, thank you.